Elizabeth Rogers, thank you for being here. Appreciate your being here for us. She practices here right in Austin at Winstead PC. She is a technology-focused business attorney concentrating on data, privacy, and cybersecurity. She also has a rich background in regulatory compliance, cybersecurity risk management, and law. She is recognized as a thought leader in the, you know, I always think of thought leaders as spiritual people, so when I read this, okay, you are a thought leader in the field of cybersecurity, frequently publishing insights on emerging trends and providing a guidance to businesses navigating this evolving landscape. And trust me, there's much more in her bio, so please read it, and thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, everyone. I'm going to stand up for a little while, just because it helps me to project my voice. First, I want to just add a few items to my resume. You're right, Lucille. She did not read the version my mother wrote. However, I think it puts some context into my being here. I started as my privacy career 14 years ago in state government, and I was appointed as the first chief privacy officer in Texas state government following a data breach that occurred exposing back then what seemed like a lot of Social Security numbers, and that was 3.5 million on a public-facing website of the Comptroller of Public account. And at the time, my boss, Susan Combs, was in the middle of session, and she went from being the blonde-haired, golden-haired elected official that wrote all the checks for state government to having bombs on her chest, basically, and quickly wrote the job description for chief privacy officer, got it approved by the state classification system. I applied for the job because I had moved away from Austin in body only to accept a job in Houston, and after a year I quickly applied for that job and got interviews and advanced into the final round, and she asked me three questions after talking for 20 minutes about what she thought a cybersecurity program looked like. And those three questions were, how much do you want? Where do you live, and when can you start? And I can tell you, having worked in state government through other roles for 14 years, I know one of the largest challenges all of us face in the nonprofit sector is a lack of monetary resources and a lack of human resources. But the threat is as real for all of us in this room as it is for Sony, Neiman Marcus, Target, and any of the other Fortune 500 companies that have suffered a data breach. So today we're going to focus on basic high-level sort of fireplace mantle-level summary of the law, and also take away some practical tips that when you get back to the office sometime, either this month or next month, after you catch up on Monday, you might be able to raise some points that'll work. So let's move through the slides relatively effectively. So first, why should nonprofits worry about privacy? Of course, my cartoon is meant to break the ice. It's almost 3 o'clock. Everybody's falling asleep. The man says, I'm not sure. I'm a nonprofit. I don't know the answers. But basically, we all know that there is storage of large amounts of data that are both confidential by law and simply donor proprietary information. A small budget. We have a very common theme throughout: large amounts of data, small budget. And Texas Access to Justice Commission provides resources for technology for all of us, however, and for best practices as part of its mission, but that doesn't achieve the financial solutions we need. There's all kinds of social services that are provided, and they have confidential information, not just monetarily, but for victims of violence, victims of domestic crimes, and so all of this data is extremely sensitive. So I know that this particular number has increased since I wrote this slide. I believe it's $80 billion worth of money that's donated.